Something is bubbling among women today. Women crave honest stories that entertain, motivate, and move them. Women want reinforcement that they are not alone in feeling the way that they do, and that they can feel good about their prospects. Stories and Strategies for Women podcast will share riveting stories about amazing women. I'm your host, Claudine Wolk. A good story, well told, is powerful. A good story can motivate. A good story can inspire action. Claudine here. We are very excited to welcome a new sponsor. It's iBobs at iBobs.com. I discovered iBobs years ago when I needed readers. If I needed to wear glasses, I wanted them to be fun to wear and fun to buy. iBobs fits the bill and makes buying glasses super easy. Wondering what frames look the best on you? Check out the style quiz on the site to help you find the perfect frames. I love my latest pair called What Inheritance, a cool light blue color. But my go-to favorite pair is called Clearly in purple. See, even the names are fun. iBobs is offering a special discount for Stories and Strategies for Women listeners. Enter promo code STORIESANDSTRAT10, spell the and, at the checkout to receive a 10% discount today. That's iBobs.com. Welcome to Stories and Strategies for Women. This episode will be the first in the Women Who Inspire series. Our guest today is Dr. Susan Edwards. Dr. Susan founded Team Velvet, Inc., a non-mounted horse therapy charity providing services for children ages 5 to 12 who have experienced emotional trauma. The organization is all volunteer, and Dr. Edwards not only provides free services as a licensed psychologist, but she serves as the president of the board of directors after teaching 5 years at graduate universities in Maine. She continues a small private practice for professionals in Flemington. Dr. Susan Edwards is a multimodal psychologist with 2 master's degrees and a doctorate from Arizona State University, who came to New Jersey to accept a postdoctoral fellowship under the late Dr. Arnold Lazarus, an eminent psychologist at Rutgers University's School of Clinical and Professional Psychology. When I asked Dr. Edwards to be interviewed on Women Who Inspire, she asked if she could participate by sharing things that inspire her. With that, welcome Dr. Susan Edwards.
Thank you, Claudine. And this is a wonderful project that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
I'm honored to be included. Thank you.
Well, I'm honored to have you. Thank you so much. So let's start by talking a little bit about Team Velvet, because we mentioned that earlier. And in the bio, we mentioned multimodal psychologist. Why don't you tell us what a multimodal psychologist is?
So that's the model that was designed by Dr. Arnold Lazarus of Rutgers University. It's a comprehensive, holistic model that simply looks at how people behave, how they feel, the way they respond to sensory stimuli, mental images they have, the thoughts they have, the interpersonal network, and their physiology. So an intervention then with children is, in this model, is most effective when it includes all of those or as many of those modalities as possible.
Okay. And so Team Velvet, and you can find more information about Team Velvet at teamvelvet.com. Team Velvet actually uses horses, but it's non-mounted, so the children don't ride the horse.
That's right.
Can you explain how that therapy works and how it helps children?
Okay, well, we need several hours to do that. But in a nutshell, horses are very powerful allies to a therapist. And so I will design a treatment plan for a child. And then there's a part of that that involves horses, and there's a part of it involves a traditional treatment plan that I will review with the parent and we will work on together. So let's say you have a child who is fearful. The work with the horse will help the child overcome a specific fear, and then sometimes they have a larger fear. So for example, one time there was a little girl whose mother was very concerned. She had anxiety. And when she met me, and then when she met Velvet, she hid behind the mother because Velvet's quite a large horse. At the end of therapy, which was with Team Velvet, the girl had taught the horse to dance. and had reported on a teacher to the administration who was scaring children.
Wow.
That's very powerful.
It sure is.
So it was multimodal therapy, as I just described. And the horse, Velvet, in this case, we have three therapy horses, was a very powerful psychological model and partner. Horses read emotions. They're prey animals, and so their ability to read emotions has survival skill. And so he read that the girl was afraid. She was anxious. And he's a gentle soul who also has had tremendous amount of training. And she was willing to get to know him, and the picture in her mind changed. He's 18, 2.5, 1,500 pounds. She was afraid. At the end, she's telling him how to dance. And now he can do the boot scoot boogie.
Yes, we're lucky that we're on video, Doctor. Obviously, the podcast audience isn't going to be able to see this, but this is a gorgeous horse, a very large horse.
Yes, he's right here.
And he's right there. Right. So when you hear the noises, this is why, because we are right next to this beautiful horse. And not the only horse that
you... No, we have three. We have a little mini who is just the size of a hug for a young child, and they love her, and she's amazing. And we have a mare who is very much of a diva, and she wonderful in some other ways. And there is just a little horse. He says, I'm here. Okay. So Team Velvet also results from my love of horses, which has been lifelong. I've had four so far in my life. And Velvet I raised from a foal. And my love of children, because I've worked with kids all of my professional career. So the inspiration for Team Velvet came from seeing that children suffer tremendously in mental health related issues through loss, death of someone, through bullying, through just being sensitive to the world. One time I was in my Princeton office and a little boy came in. He said, you know what? He said he was having nightmares. I said, you're having nightmares. I said, what are you dreaming? He said, I just don't like it when they put anybody off the island. Hmm. Now, you remember that was a television show.
Mm-hmm.
And here he was a young child. He was having nightmares. So they're just sensitive to what goes on in the world. So the combination of psychology and horses is a powerful one. The inspiration for me was seeing the magic that can occur between kids and horses and psychology. And in our volunteer organization, we have people work with us, work together. I have peer mentors, volunteer helpers, people in many different walks of life help us. Right now, during COVID, we have added no new helpers until COVID is over. We're restricting, we're limiting ourselves. We're doing more. We installed Wi-Fi in the farm. I can do virtual telehealth in the barn.
Yes. And so, we should say where you're located.
We're in Flemington, New Jersey, is where the therapy farm is. And when a parent will call in, I will do an initial screening on the phone or ask them. Sometimes it's by email, and then we'll determine if the child is appropriate. Sometimes they're not, and we refer them to another resource. And if they are, they're depending on what the trauma was, a child might be here for a year. It can be intense.
Right. And we can get pretty specific from your website. You describe having successfully helped children who have experienced the death of one or two parents or loved ones, been the victims of violence, witness death and or continued to recover from psychological effects of physical injury, birth defect surgery, accident trauma, and severe stress. So these are pretty big issues.
That's right. So that takes a powerful treatment model, and it also takes love. Horses give love. They're very affectionate. They don't present love in the same way that a dog or a cat might. But they're have a wonderful heart. And that's part of the creativity involving the horses and myself and the parent and the treatment line.
And I'm so curious, for anybody who is hearing about this type of therapy for the first time, what kind of period of time are we talking about here that the child comes and has sessions and there is an effect, there is a remedy?
For severe trauma, I ask the parents to make a commitment to a year. That's every week. And, you know, obviously time off for holidays and so on. But usually profound trauma alters someone's view of the world. And it's quite frightening. You know?
Absolutely.
And we work with 5 to 12-year-olds. Many times adults have said to me, I was a victim of child trauma and nothing works. So I'm not going to help you. And I said, well, do you know, we know a lot more about child trauma now than when some of these people were young.
Right.
And also sometimes that can be very powerful to see that a child's life can be changed.
Absolutely. And you've seen the results.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. I want to ask you, as a doctor, there's a overwhelming thought out there that children just get over things. Children are resilient. And that it drives me nuts, because I just don't feel like, you know, if adults can't get over things, how can a child get over things? And I'm wondering, is that a misnomer?
Well, actually, there is research to support both. There's research to show that they do. There's research to show that they don't. There's research to show that it depends. Psychological invulnerability is the research base that shows that a child can transcend a trauma. And there are certain factors that they attribute that to. One is a cognitive style that helps them view the trauma in a symbolic way, and they understand it's not caused by them. One of the classic cases was a young boy at the university. His mother was paranoid schizophrenic and had many different kinds of mental health issues. And the researchers from the university interviewed him, he was 8, and asked him if he thought that the mother's enemies were breaking into the house, poisoning the milk in the refrigerator. And the boy said, no, the milk's fine, I drink it all the time. He said, that's just part of mama's illness.
Oh,
that's psychological invulnerability. That child was in the group that you're talking about. And it was his ability to conceptualize what was going on in a different way that prevented him from developing a mental illness himself. The people who don't, or children who are vulnerable, would be pretty much anyone that experiences something that changes his or her life in a profound way. And so a parent often will request help for them.
Right.
So there can be both, but a blanket statement is simply not true. And I think that's probably what bothers you.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, what you just said there. So some people have the ability to overcome it and some need a little more help, and you just don't know if you have that skill or not, right?
That's right. That's right. And sometimes, different times in my career, people have told me their history, and I have said to them, I said, you have good mental health. They often were there for career issues or something like that to see me. I said, how did you manage to retain such good mental health? And one woman, I remember, looked at me and said it flat out, my dog. She said, the dog I grew up with was a constant source of love and caring and helped me stay centered.
Yes.
So you look at mental health as a function of supports and stressors. Supports are things that lift us, empower us with love and self-confidence. Stressors are things that push down, that undermine us, that make it very difficult for us to continue to be who we are.
Understood. I just want to go back to one other thing about the horses. I read somewhere that horses, when you're near a horse, your heart rate will conform to the horse's heart rate, or I'm saying that wrong. It can affect your heart rate in a good way, just being near a horse. Is that true?
Well, actually, there's research on animals.
Okay.
It shows that animals, and it's lower, they lower your blood pressure. So,
which I need, doctor.
Yeah, no, yeah. They do. And for anyone under stress, and many times I'll always encourage parents to consider getting a child a pet, because they do. They lower our blood pressure and our stress level just by being there.
Right.
So it's a good thing. I don't know that our heart rate changes, but I know that when the calmer we feel, the less stress, and so the more relaxed, lower the blood pressure and so on. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how long have you been with Team Velvet now?
Okay, we incorporated 12 years ago, and we have, our stress is financial. So because we're all volunteer, we still have to pay for the facility, which we lease, because we have three horses, which obviously have costs. Veterinary services, pay, fees, so on. So we're supported by grants. We're supported by donations. We're looking for a benefactor. Perhaps someone who hears your podcast will decide to help us. And since we're recording this in the few weeks before Christmas, I am hoping for a visit from Santa, who brings us some financial support, because this program is wonderful.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yep. Yeah. And that's teamvelvet.com if you'd like to get more information. And there are so many things on your website, in addition to videos of the horses, pictures of the property, information, videos of you, so people can get a real good idea of who you are and what you do just by going to your website.
Well, thank you. Although some of the pictures make me look 95, and I'm
no.
really not so bad.
It's like no.
But I want to tell you that we have the videos because last year Susan Rose Riley died, and she requested that people honor her life by giving donations to us. The first two donations allowed us to purchase the video equipment. And at the same time, we were lucky enough to have Lillian Shoup join our board. And she is magical with the camera. She has done all of our videos. And we've won two video awards in our field. The Equus Foundation gave us an award for Horses Helping Humans for a short video we did. And the second one was on coping with COVID stress, which was a video. And all of our videos are narrated by the horses.
Nice.
So children can watch them and they can learn from them. And it also makes it more interesting. Now, the fact that I often will write the script, I try to make it theoretically sound, but also interesting, because psychology and helping you help someone you love, you can guide that process. So that's what we do.
For anyone who's listening who has a child who feels needs your services, how would that process work? What would they start with doing?
They can go to the website. Usually a parent will write an email. Sometimes people will donate money for a scholarship for the next several children, things like that. Well, all our services are provided without charge. So,
wow.
So basically, I will talk with the parent, or I will review the email, or I'll look at the child's needs compared to the other ones that are being referred. You know, trauma is a very bad thing that happens to someone, and 5 to 12 is our age range. So I make a clinical decision, and then the person will come and we will start working together.
So what does it mean to you to be doing this kind of work?
You know, this is why I write grants. I look at what inspires me, because this is very hard and it touches me so much. The little girl who taught Velvet to dance, that was awesome. Some of the cases we included in the website, they were amazing. One child had 5 therapists before me, you know, and we had it made a difference. So this is powerful work. It's has a good outcome. We would like to have this as a permanent legacy for child mental health. Equine facilitated mental health is the fastest growing mental health model in the world. In the world.
Wow.
And so that means in every country you can find these programs. Working with young children, there are not so many. So we're, and this is outpatient, so this is unique. this has some special characteristics. I don't want to say unique because there are other programs work with children on an outpatient basis. There's one in Florida, for example, I just found out about, but very special. So, and we write about this work, and I would like to have more children write books to help other children about how they help themselves. All right. So one of the sources of inspiration for me is the written word and things that inspire others. So part of that can be, I read something and it's about the writer's vision. And then I think, could we have that here? Well, one of the most famous cases of a writer's vision that got translated into history was in 1948, the Nobel Prize was awarded to a man named Rabindranath Tagore. He lived in India and he wrote beautiful, powerful poetry with a very strong spiritual component. So his poetry inspired Gandhi not to give up his hunger strike, and Gandhi brought about a change in India. Gandhi inspired Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela inspired Robert Luther King, along with Gandhi. Martin Luther King has inspired many other people. So one of the original poems was about the kind of country that Rabindranath Tagore hoped in the future India could become. So when I look at my inspiration for children's mental health, it can be a learning model that is also pleasant. When children come here, they often run in and hug the horse. That's fun. That's fun for them. Mm-hmm. And yet they're learning applied science. It's just not so painful for them. So I have a vision that this program can grow and can help set up a network of horses. We call it a helping horse network, so that people in other areas can go to psychologists and licensed mental health clinicians who are also working with horses, and that can be everywhere. There are horses in every state, and there are mental health people in every state, and that's a good network.
Yes.
Okay. So another thing that inspires me, especially right now, is I think of my mentors. I've had five in my lifetime, and each one has helped me in a different way. And when we look at where the budget is and where it needs to be, I think of what each of my mentors would advise me, and it gives me a sense of encouragement and comfort, because this is making Team Velvet independent and fiscally responsive, since we don't charge for our services. This is the hardest thing I have ever tried to do in my life. About 20 years ago, I wrote a book that was rejected by 445 publishers.
445.
That's right. So it was a little overwhelming. But the 446th one said maybe, and I worked with them, and the book came out in 10 languages.
Wow.
It was a nonfiction book on love. And the message was that there are people, it was called When Men Believe in Love. And the message was,
do men believe in love?
That's what this whole book was about. There were men's stories, and each one had the story, and then I kind of put them together. And it was a very difficult task, but in the end we were successful, and I like to think we made a difference. This is harder.
Yeah.
And so I'm motivated in the same way. And, you know, we're going to run out of time, so I want to say just a few more things before we do.
You're welcome to.
Okay. So every person who helps us in any way, I am profoundly appreciative of. And people can help in different ways. I got a check yesterday for $10. That's worth 2 bales of hay. I thank that person profoundly.
Yes.
You know? So, and we get checks for a lot more or whatever. When I feel discouraged and I'm trying to work towards my vision of having this program independent, self-sustaining, and seeing many more children than we do now, there's one other psychologist who's interested in working with us. That means they do this for no fee, you know. We also need the arena outside refurbished so we can have 3 treatment areas. That would be about $10,000. I can't do that without someone donating it or donating the service of doing it. I also want to say something about systemic fraud, because I wrote a book on fraud. I've written about 5 books, several for children and some for adults. and about 100 articles. And understanding Freud is helpful to me sometimes in knowing some of the obstacles we have to overcome. Many times, since your focus is on women here, many times women internalize issues that are not their fault. And so the more they learn about fraudulent process, it can be freeing to them. So I'll give you two examples. One from my own life. Many years ago, someone nominated me. Pardon me. Now, right now, Velvet is...
This is so much fun. I love this.
He's a big boy, and so this is a big poop right here.
Yeah,
so
oh, my God.
Okay.
So this is real. This is the real story here.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So now he should come back and finish his hay. All right. I appreciate him walking down the hall. So so in Freud, many years ago, someone nominated me. I had my private practice and I had done a lot of consulting in an industry and changed some of their paradigms related to increasing their understanding of customer-based fraud against the businesses. So I was nominated for a Woman of Distinction, something like that, a group of women that were being honored. So the person who nominated me came back one day and said, I resigned from so-and-so, and this was a group that was giving this award. I said, you did? I said, I thought you were so happy about it. She said, well, she said they didn't consider your name because they said you had just a private practice. You couldn't pay for the 10 plates of at the dinner, so you couldn't help them raise money. So that was helpful to me to know the inside scoop because right. Many times people, especially women, would think, gee, I wasn't good enough, and that was not it at all.
Right, right.
So then fast forward to an industrial arena. I was giving a speech one time and I heard two men talking about a case in their business. And I turned around to the table and I said, that customer is a sociopath. And that's why you had that outcome. And they both looked at me and they said, who are you? They were speakers on the same conference. And so over time we became friends. And as a result of my empowering them, they were able to do some things differently. And the person eventually went to jail. It was very interesting.
So, oh my goodness.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's
another podcast episode, perhaps.
That doesn't happen. Anyhow, so I would recommend that. So now okay. I want to say about the Goodness Network and then I want to say something about love. The Goodness Network is a source of inspiration for me when I'm against all odds. The Goodness Network is a concept I put in my book, Womenly in Love. That was the book that I put this concept in. Here's the concept. There are people who you cannot buy. They're not for sale.
Right.
And those are people who are honest and tell you what they think and they help you because they believe in what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And when we get discouraged by looking at the media or by seeing all the terrible things that happen in the world, which they certainly do, the Goodness Network is refreshing because it means that there are people out there who perhaps are like you. They're real and they're honest and they're not for sale. And many times I think of back on a situation years ago when I graduated from the university, large corporation wanted to hire me to run an adolescent treatment program. And they flew me up to this town, very wealthy town, and picked me up in a Bentley limo. I had never seen a Bentley limo.
Nice.
I didn't even know what it was. And they told me that my job would be to run this clinic and to recruit. And the treatment model was to have adolescents come every week for treatment and help parents see that it would raise their grades. And I said, actually, I know this treatment model and I know what you're saying. And there is no research to support it. And they said, well, that's your job. And I said, well, I don't believe in that. And then they said, what would it take to buy you? Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't make decisions that way.
Right.
Then they asked me who my models were growing up. And I said, my teachers. Bottom line, they took me back to the airport 2 hours early and I never did get dinner.
Oh, no.
But they were not in the Goodness Network. So anyhow, that's a concept. And the last one is love. Inspiration at a deep level always involves love. Love of what we're trying to accomplish. I love both horses and kids, and that's always been, and I love helping people. That's always been important. And I always have had people who have loved me, or with animals, it's if I give them love, they return it. And love is empowering at a fundamental level. So, and also knowing that I don't give up, and that stems from love. So here's my hope. My hope is that someone out there would be interested in helping us achieve our goal for Team Velvet, or would help us financially, with support, with encouragement, with prayers, with all of the above, because this is something very special. And it is a different vision, and it's for the greater good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned earlier that there were other organizations that do what you do, but that you're not unique. Well, I would say that your organization, Team Velvet, is unique because it has you, Dr. Edwards.
Well, that's sure. The best. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for sharing all of your inspirations as well as your story. I want to mention also, teamvelvet.com is a 501c3 organization. Can people donate right on your site?
Yes, right on our site, through PayPal, through GoFundMe, through the Network for Good. There are three different buttons. On PayPal, we have the money is deposited within 2 or 3 days.
Very good. And we'll hope that you get your Christmas wishes. And
yes.
One of the things that I wanted to ask, that I try to ask all of our guests, is to give a book recommendation.
And you have said that to me before.
Yes.
You know, When I moved from Arizona to Maine to teach at the university, I shipped 47 cartons of books. 47. So probably I don't have one book. In terms of love for horses, Black Beauty was a book I read as a child. And the biography of Man of War by Paige Treat and Roger, I forget his last name, but it was a wonderful, they wrote the book from a relationship standpoint. I just developed a different sense of horses. So we made a video honoring Man of War, and it's on our website, and that's directly related to this book. The Diary of Anne Frank also touched me because Helen Keller's book Midstream, because of the honesty with which they address their feelings. And Rabindranath Tagore collected works just always knocks my socks off. He writes with a spirituality that is rare.
Very good. Very good. I will add those in the show notes for the podcast, as well as your website, so people can find you.
And we have books on our website that I have written for children, and those are available for a donation.
Terrific. All right. We will send folks your way. Thank you so much, Dr. Edwards, for being with us and for sharing your story.
Okay. Claudine, you're the best.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And you're listening to Stories and Strategies for Women. You are listening to Stories and Strategies for Women podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe and leave us a review. Visit me at my website, claudinewalk.com. Drop me a note on Instagram @claudinewalk. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.